I just think hopefully that...
You there, Fletch? No, that line's dropped out. So, as he was saying, it's a really good lineup there. We'll talk to Brian a bit more over the next day or two here on Sky Sports Radio. The Panthers Gold Cup is race six at 3:09. They've got 8 races on Sunday, with the first at 12:14. So, a big day at Hawkesbury on Sunday. Repeating the scratching of inauguration out of the Queensland Derby. It's got a knee injury for Peter Moody out of the Derby, race 7, number 13. Sean Cosgrove about to pop in with Tab Talk with Trent Langscale. Big previews of the NBA finals. Craig Williams also going to be joining us. Just take note, tomorrow morning on Sky Sports Radio, there's a massive meeting at Taree in the amount of races. We're going to be covering the Taree preview with Gary Cleese at 10:30 tomorrow, with the first at 10:53. So take note, if you're looking for Taree winners tomorrow, that preview is on at 10:30. That's it for Racing HQ. After the break, it's Tab Talk.
And here's the kickoff. We're underway. Your Sunday mornings are now sportier than ever. Join Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith when they bring you radio's best serve of sport and racing on the big sports breakfast weekend. Right here from 6 a.m. Sundays on Sky Sports Radio, your sports and racing leader.
Jarlow's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Jarlow's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Jarlow's Junior Sausage Roll 12 packs, just perfect for that next birthday party, Mum. Jarlow's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Jarlow's by name. At Jarlow's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
On the Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats,
Brumby skipper Stephen Moore talks about playing home games in Canberra.
The traction's pretty good down there in the nation's capital.
Yeah, it is, mate. I think it's always tough when winter comes. Yeah. People tend to stay inside and watch it in the pubs and at home, yeah, which is understandable, I guess. Yeah, I think that afternoon game against the Crusaders, no, Saturday week, should draw a good crowd. And I think, as I said, great for the kids. We haven't had an afternoon game this year in Canberra. So great for the kids to get out there and be able to watch. And we're certainly looking forward to playing the afternoon game.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats. Weekday mornings at 5:30. Brought to you by Tab on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches and rings, and they've been designing and making the grand final ring with passion for the last 17 years. For official NRL watches and jewellery, Z&Z's your place. Plus, if you're looking for an engagement or wedding ring, jewellery, corporate gifts of distinction, or remodelling and repairs, do what the NRL does. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Tab Talk.
Come on! Yes! First ball! 300 in post and a goal for the Wanderers!
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. It's 10:03. We've got a big morning coming up at Tab Talk today. Craig Williams joining us a little later on. He's got a great book of rides in Queensland on the weekend. Trent Langscale, tab.com.au. Morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Cozzy.
Now, you love your overseas, your American sport. You are just one of the greatest fans that I know. And you must be celebrating at the moment with the NBA finals coming up. And a couple of Aussies involved, too.
Yes, looking forward to this. The Golden State Warriors with Andrew Bogut, the former number one pick. And the Cleveland Cavaliers' Matthew Dellavedova, who was unheralded this season, yeah, but has all of a sudden put his name up in lights in the last month. Some people over there believe it's due to perhaps some foul play, but others just enjoy that Aussie tenacity that we see from both Dellavedova and Bogut.
I was about to say, not only put his name up, he put a few other things up on the court, didn't he?
He's avoided an elbow from Al Horford, but he got involved with a leg lock with Taj Gibson during the second round series the Cavs had with the Chicago Bulls. So, and LeBron's just put his put his arm around him and basically said, don't worry, mate, don't worry, mate, look out for me, I'll look after you and everything else. So looking forward to that. Just over 24 hours until game one of the NBA Finals tomorrow.
It'll be interesting when we have a chat with David Purdom, short east from ESPN. He writes on all the gambling sports and in America. He's covered it for many, many years. And we've got him joining us now, actually, which is fantastic. David, good morning, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Look, we're just talking about our Aussies, and we're pretty proud that we got two of them there with Dellavedova and Andrew Bogut. And just wondering how tough it is for those blokes to break in, because we've heard when the guys go for the gridiron, you're going to take someone else's place. So they do everything they can to stop you from breaking into it. Is it just the same with the basketball?
I'm having a little trouble understanding you. I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Is it just as difficult for the Australian guys to break into the sides over there and get a position because the locals really don't want you to take their spot?
No, I don't think so. I think we're seeing more of an international influence into the NBA. I mean, Dellavedova, of course, has made a big impact in these playoffs with his kind of gritty style. I think more and more teams are kind of looking for players that come with that rugby mentality a little bit. So, I think you're going to continue to see more and more Aussies come over and play in the NBA.
How well are they respected there? I mean, Bogut's done so well, and this young guy, Dellavedova, he doesn't back off.
No, he does not. He's ruffled some feathers over here in the first couple rounds with his aggressive play. You know, he kind of got a bad rep there for a while that people were accusing him of being dirty. But in my opinion, he's just a guy that hustles a lot, willing to get on the floor for balls and stuff like that. And, of course, Bogut's been a defensive force in this league, a first, second team, all-defensive player for a couple years now.
Don't worry, David. We love it down here with our national football codes, whether it's Australian rules or rugby league or rugby union, just that tough-out tenacity and just dive for the ball at any cost. And no matter what type of shape it is, we just love it down here. So we are really looking forward to the NBA Finals tipping off tomorrow. And game one, it has been highly anticipated because it seems forever since the conference finals were actually decided.
It does. It does. It's been a week here. It's really kind of driving us crazy, forcing us to watch regular season baseball. And I guess we got hockey tonight. But I'll tell you what, the betting interest in this finals is really starting to heat up. We're starting to see some of the bigger bets come out in Las Vegas. The Cavaliers right now are attracting the most money and most of the bets. So the bettors are starting to get interested. And, of course, that'll heat up even more tomorrow.
What size are some of the bets? What sort of money do they gamble on these games, David?
You're going to see some 5- and 6-figure bets. The biggest bets I've heard right now are 5 figures. You're talking like $25,000, maybe a $50,000 bet. All the bigger money right now is on the Cavaliers. Once we get into tomorrow and we get closer to the games, we'll probably see a 6-figure bet in there. We probably won't see any $1 million bets on the NBA Finals. It's not quite as heavily bet as the Super Bowl.
Frightening to hear some of those figures there, David. Well, just having a look, we've got some bets of note on both the teams just during the season. The biggest bet we've had at the tab is $5,004 on Golden State, and that was placed on April the 1st. So that was just as the playoffs were getting underway. And there was one punter during the Eastern Conference Finals that had $10,003.75 on the Cavaliers. So they're pretty well placed. And there's one smart punter that, before LeBron signed with Cleveland, had $20 at 100-1. So it's not a humongous bet, just a sneaky little one there, just anticipating that LeBron made the move from Miami to Cleveland.
I hope he's hedging his bet a little bit there. But, yeah, we had the same kind of experience there. It was the end of June. All of a sudden, the Cavaliers odds started shrinking, and I started calling around. People were betting the Cavaliers out of nowhere. Then all of a sudden, the rumors started heating up about LeBron. They were 40-60-1. All of a sudden, they're down to 5-1 as he signed. So we had some of the similar activity here.
Yeah, well, just from a betting point of view, when we first opened our market, which was just after the San Antonio Spurs were crowned as champions last season, the Warriors were $34, so in the old language, 33-1, and the Cleveland Cavaliers were $101, so 100-1, and then before LeBron signed, they continued the firm in the 41, and by the time LeBron put his signature onto the contract, they were the $4.50 favourites, but the Warriors were still $26, so as the season wore on, we saw how impressive the Warriors were, and the Cavaliers, they did have some moments. They had to do some trades to get Timofey Mozgov, J.R. Smith and Ivan Shumpert, and LeBron had his sabbatical, but then all of a sudden they became the what we thought at the start of the season they would be, the beast of the East.
Absolutely. They have looked very, very impressive in the playoffs, although a lot of people take away some of that because of the Eastern Conference is considered to be far inferior to the Western Conference, where the Warriors had to play a tougher competition. But did they really, you know, are we saying that Houston is that much better than the Bulls, who the Cavs played? I don't know. I think Cleveland is playing its best basketball of the year exactly at the right time.
David, you wouldn't think they'd have to promote the game too much, but it's interesting that the Cavaliers have got banners up promoting the series, and they were featuring injured players. Is that like using a bit of the old emotional blackmail on everyone or not?
They are banged up, for sure. Kyrie Irving, their point guard, who is a superstar point guard when he's 100% healthy, is not going to be 100%. And when he's tried to play a little bit in the Eastern Conference Finals, he just didn't, you know, he's usually heads and shoulders more, makes more of an impact scoring and everything than Dellavedova. But when he was reduced to his knee injury, kept him just basically a 3-point shooter. The difference between him and Dellavedova was really minimized. LeBron says he's banged up a little bit. The Warriors got their own injury problems too, with Klay Thompson coming back, from a concussion. But the bigger thing with the Warriors might be Maurice Spates, who gives them another big body to kind of throw in there against that Cavaliers front line. Maurice Spates, a big power forward, played his ball at Florida. He's back in the lineup now and is going to play. So that'll help them because, gosh, the Cavaliers really, really attack the glass on the offensive glass. That'll be a big storyline in this final series.
Well, just with the injury problems that the Cavaliers have got, David, is the prevailing thought with everyone over in the States, all the analysts, and especially ESPN or ABC, who will be covering the finals, that the great team that the Warriors have been this season, they will be too much for the greatest player on the planet, which was the case last year when the Spurs beat the Miami Heat?
I think the Warriors, of course, are the favorites. So I do think the majority of prediction people that are prognosticating around this are taking the Warriors. But it's different in the bettors. The bettors now, they're back in Cleveland. And they have backed them at an 80% clip at a couple sports books in Las Vegas. That's on the series price, and you know you're getting about 2-1 on your money on the Cavaliers. So they may be the underdogs, but there's a lot of people that are putting down their money on LeBron James.
Well, we'll have a look at game one of the finals. It tips off 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, our time in Sydney. So it is either, that'll be 9 o'clock on the East Coast in America and 6 o'clock in Oakland, where it's being played at Oracle Arena. You've got Golden State $1.42, Cleveland $3. The line, the Warriors are giving away a 6.5-point start. The over-under line's 202.5 points. And just with the margin betting, the Warriors to win by 1 to 10 at $2.50, 11 plus $2.75. The Cavaliers by 1 to 10 at $4 and 11 plus at $9. So game one, always important, no matter what series it is. David, do you think the Warriors will be able to get the edge in game one at home?
Boy, I wouldn't lay the 6 points for sure. That seems like a lot. This seems like a series that's going to be very, very close, in my opinion. I don't think either team that there's going to be many significant blowouts. So when you're getting more than two possessions, there are two possessions with a six and a half, like you're saying. I got to lean towards Cleveland and the points.
Okay. And for the overall finals itself, the championship, the Warriors are the $1.42 favourites there. The Cavaliers at $2.90. There's plenty of other bet types on the future markets for the finals, for the MVP, for the Bill Russell Trophy. Stephen Curry's the $1.48 favourite, so pretty much 2-1 on in the old language. LeBron James, $3.15. Kyrie Irving's at $13. Draymond Green at $15. And then Klay Thompson, who we saw take that terrible knock to the head in the Western Conference Finals against the Houston Rockets. He's at $17. Is there perhaps a smoky with the MVP, David, like we saw with Kawhi Leonard last year?
I don't think so. I think if you like the Cavaliers, you got to take LeBron. If you like the Warriors, you got to take Steph Curry. If their odds are better than the series prices that you're getting, you would want to bet the MVP that way. If they're not, you just want to bet the series.
You would expect that if Golden State are to win the championship, the first time since 1975 that Curry's got to have a tremendous series, and it's pretty much all on LeBron's shoulders at the moment, just the impact that Irving will have in the series. They won't have Kevin Love, who's been out since the opening round series against the Boston Celtics, and despite how J.R. Smith can shoot, he just doesn't mind throwing it up every now and again. It will be all on LeBron, and we talked about the Warriors not having won the title for 40 seasons. It's almost famous there in the States, the drought that the Cleveland sports teams have, whether it be the Cavaliers, the Indians or the Browns. So there's a lot of pressure on LeBron in his homecoming.
Absolutely. There's a ton of pressure, and I think he knows it. I think he feels it, and he said this yesterday, that he feels like he's playing the best basketball of his career. After watching him closely in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Hawks, the impact he has on the game right now is as great as it's ever been in his career, in my opinion. He can will his team to win. He can score. He can get his other teammates involved. Your J.R. Smith has been really, really played well in the Eastern Conference Finals, and so has Iman Shumpert. So LeBron feels it, but he knows what he can do. I think he feels pretty confident going into this. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't consider himself the underdog for sure.
Yeah, well, he's been there, this is the sixth time now, so he's got used to the stage of fighting for the Larry O'Brien Trophy. David, for yourself, the tip for who wins the title and how many games will it be decided in?
I'm going to take Cleveland in six. I think the exact odds here in the States are Cleveland in six are, what are they, about 4-1 odds. So I kind of like that play. I think that'll be the game six will be back home in Cleveland.
Yep.
I look for the Cavaliers to steal one of these first two games, and I think LeBron pulls it off.
Yes, we've got Cleveland to win 4-2 at $6.50. So just a little bit over that, sort of 11-2 in the old language. And just for those with the finals, it's all covered on ESPN. So you'll have Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. Mama, go, there goes that man. For our schedule, the games are Friday, Monday and Wednesday. And that continues from games 1 through to 6. And game 7, if necessary, would be on Saturday, June the 20th. So the first two at Golden State, the next two at Cleveland, and then it goes Golden State, Cleveland and Golden State.
Now, Dave, over the years, I noticed that you've been reporting on gambling in the States in all forms. Now, over the years, I saw one report you've been shown many, many betting systems by people who think they've found the way to beat the odds. How many of them have worked?
Very, very little. That was actually from a guy named Jeff Ma, who is famous for being a professional blackjack player. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie 21. He was a student at MIT, a math major, one of those guys that can do all the numbers in his head. And, he's become famous for that. He works with me now at ESPN Chalk. And he was talking about the how many people come to him, and his exact quote was, "I get a ton, and they're all terrible." I thought that was pretty funny.
So for those punters listening to us now, you think they've lucked onto the almighty system that's going to provide the retirement fund, think again.
Exactly.
Dave, been terrific to catch up with you. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to hearing and maybe seeing you over the final series.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for having me on. Best of luck in your place.
Thank you very much, Dave Purden there, a gambling journalist with ESPN, covers the basketball a whole lot, and this fascinating is he's covered all sorts, including all sorts of rorts and whatever, where people have tried to win against the system, and it don't work.
There was plenty on Cozzy. If you go to the ESPN website, and if you look for the section where you look on the odds and info, he actually wrote yesterday, once Sepp Blatter announced that he will be stepping down as the FIFA president, he actually had a market available from one of the sports books over in Vegas on who will be the next president of FIFA. So he covers a lot over there, also about the gambling laws in America. There's a lot of talk, especially with the NBA, about legalizing sports gambling throughout the country, not just in Las Vegas. So there's a lot of chat at the moment, and David is on the button with all of that information.
All right, now it is 10:19 at Sky Sports Radio. If you want to, so here we are saying don't follow a system. If you want to follow a jockey, I tell you one bloke you can hop onto and you'll do pretty well with. That's Craig Williams. He's having a terrific season this year, and he joins us now. Morning, Craig. How are you?
Good morning, Sean and Trent. How are you?
Good. We're terrific, mate. We actually had a look today and thought, oh, we might find out a winner today from Craig, but you're having today and tomorrow off. That'd be a bit of a rarity, wouldn't it, to have a couple of days off?
I don't know about that. I'm actually feel like a taxi driver. I've got my son. I've got to drive him down at the train station. He's got to go for an exam, and I've been waiting in the car, and then I had to drive over here and get the car washed for my wife. And I'm being a good husband and good father today, at least. Anyway, and I'll get into my office and do my homework today for Saturday in Brisbane.
So it's a career change today. It's Craig Williams Butler.
Yeah, I think my son's not happy. I'm not wearing a hat and some gloves like I do with your family. But anyway, good luck.
All right, now you've got a great book of rides on Saturday. First of all, the Stradbroke. Charlie Boy is in the second favourite at the moment, and he's really firing at the moment, Craig.
I was really delighted to get the opportunity to ride him. Obviously, a light weight restricts Blake Chin, and then the road became available, and I couldn't be happier with the way that he's going this preparation. And he's come up with a great barrier draw, and it'll be interesting to see how the track plays, because they had the rail out 5 metres last meeting. There was clearly wear and tear, and they've got now the rail out half a metre, so it would probably be advantageous to have a good look at that track and see how it's playing throughout the day.
Well, you'll be one bloke who will have a look, and I'll tell you what, a lot of apprentices could learn from you. You get out and you walk the track and you have a real good look at it, don't you?
Well, kids are pretty good these days. They come out and they look like they've been riding for 4 years, and so I hope they don't get too many of the good ideas that I was had instilled in me from my father and watching the best jockeys. So we don't want to give them too many pointers, because the new rising stars in racing is looking very bright for the riding ranks in Australia, that's for sure.
Now, Thermogenic in the Derby, you won on Thermogenic the other day at Flemington. That was a real good win.
I'm really happy with him. Now, I guess if you look at his races leading into a 2200, you say, oh, it's a little bit up and down, and I think the path wasn't, wouldn't be ideal. But you look and you see Philip Stokes, who's a master trainer, and the Thermogenic was actually in the emergency to get a run in the South Australian Derby, and he didn't gain a start, and that's the reason why they kept him in two races, so he gained a start in another race. But he was really ready and primed to be running over an extended trip. And then all of a sudden he didn't gain a start. So even though we look at the form and we think, oh, this is going back to a mile, then a mile back up to 2200, I have no problem with his preparation, but it will look unusual to people doing their form.
He's got to be a real live chance, and he's won the other day.
Definitely. I think we have to have, if the horse backs up from last week, the New Zealand horse, after beating the older horses,
yeah,
I'd say he's the one that we all have to beat. And in the lead-up, the usual lead-up race in the Grand Prix, I'd say that Darren Weir's got a pretty strong handle. But away from that, it's a very even race. But I'm very confident in my horse. He's a really progressive horse, and I expect him to run really well. And then after this preparation, having the trip away and going in opposite direction, I reckon it will really grow him up, set him up for a good spring preparation as well.
Now, Craig, another good ride you've got, so let's make a deal on the Brisbane Cup. And it just seems the older she gets and more runs under the belt, the better she gets. She showed a real glimpse of what she could do in the spring, but this time back, good run at Morfordville, and then won the Centurion with you on board.
I was delighted with her win last start. And I guess when you look at her form, that she's actually got outstanding form to be competitive 2 and 3 lengths off Melbourne Cup winners Fiorente and Green Moon. Her form is outstanding. When she found herself in that race, she's really well placed for Nigel. She's extremely well weighted for the form that she has, but the reason why she's well weighted is because even though she's got outstanding form, she's only won 2 races before last start. So winning last start, I think she would derive so much from confidence going into this race. She's also been right-handed, so that's not an issue for her. I rode her up in Sydney, might have been 2 preparations ago, with the view in the autumn that she was going for the BMW. So I have no problems about going that direction, but this looks like a really winnable race for her.
She almost went down the nose. I think it might have been the Herbert Power at Caulfield, going out of the straight, dipped, and you look and think, how does this stay on its feet? And she still ran a terrific race.
That's right. She also wasn't far away in last year's winning edge, which is what we call the Herbert Power. In that race was the eventual Melbourne Cup winner. Also was a horse of, what's his name? McAvoy's horse.
Yeah,
so
big memory.
So that was a really hotly contested race and just showed you the quality that she has got. But again, even her win the other day, she didn't have too many favours. Nigel just said Rylite's the best horse, and as it turned out from the draw, we didn't have much luck in running, and we were wide, but I loved her acceleration, and even the way that she ran through the line. She didn't get there and goes, I've only run two races, I don't know what I'm doing. She really made them pay, and I really enjoyed the acceleration that she gave me last start.
Well, our bookies were pretty impressed as well, Craig, because at the moment, Let's Make a Deal is the Tab Fixed Odds favourite at $3.30 for the Brisbane Cup. You've got Sense of Occasion at $4.80, Moriarty at $5, and Index Linked, the next best, at $7.50. Just going through the other two group ones that we've talked about, the Queensland Derby, Werther is the $3 favourite after the impressive win in the Eagle Farm Cup last Saturday. Master of Arts, $4.50, Saddler's Lake at $9, Your Mount Thermogenic at $21, so a chance there at a rough price. And in the Stradbroke handicap, as Cossie touched on, Lemosky is the first emergency, but is the $4.80 favourite. And then you've got Charlie Boy, Your Ride, along with Blackheart Bart, both at $7, Noidart at $8, and then Bobin, Delectation, and Generalife all at $9. So a really tough race there, the Stradbroke handicap, as it should be. Just looking at your other mounts, you don't have a ride in the first at Doomben on Saturday, but you're on Opinionated in race two, which is the Lancaster Stakes, a $26 chance at the moment.
I actually haven't sat down and done my form, so I obviously, Sean, you're making sure that I ride on speed with Trent
Yeah.
where the odds were. But all I know is I picked up this ride, and my manager, Mark Guest, who does all my bookings, is a very good judge. He said to me, this horse is still a maiden, but you'll like this horse. It will be a get-back-and-run-on type of horse, maybe midfield from a nice barrier draw.
Mm-hmm.
But so hoping if the track plays even, they won't take away its normal run pattern to give it a chance. But he said it's a nice chance in the race, and we were lucky enough to pick up another one, which I haven't done form on, from Michael Rod, wouldn't be able to make it back from Singapore in time. And we picked up another ride.
Staviva and Talishan you've got as well, yeah.
Talishan. So Mark said this is, he's resuming, but on her best form, an extremely tough mare's race. He said that she'll be competitive, so looks like I've got a nice book of rides, according to yourself, Trent, now, and on the post, and my manager, Mark Ed.
Yeah, well, Staviva in an $18 chance in the Wayne Wilson Mile, which is race number three. And as Cozzy pointed out, you're riding Talishan, who is a $21 chance in the Dane Ripper Stakes, which is race number four. But at the moment, that has Lemosty as the $2.30 favourite and Catkins at $3.60. So if Lemosty does get a run in the Stradbroke handicap, that will all change there as well. Also, Craig, you have a ride on Rekindle Power, who is the second emergency in the Queensland Guineas, is a $9 chance. You'll be hoping that there's a couple that do fall out, because Rekindle Power just been had a troublesome preparation, but has got the ability.
Yeah, not only have you done your form really well, Trent, and we've got the markets well, but you must be also listening to my phone. I had a phone call from Paul Massaro on Tuesday, and he couldn't be happy with his horse. He said, unfortunately, he had a disappointing run last time. He said, but the way the horse is going, he's really looking forward to this race, and you wouldn't believe it. As it turns out, we're not in the field at this stage. So, and usually for these races, there aren't other options for horses. So unless something goes amiss, it's highly unlikely that he will gain a start. But if he does, he'll definitely make his presence felt.
Now, Craig, you really have been an inspiration for young kids, and there's something you said earlier on, and a lot of young apprentices listening maybe at the moment think, oh, it gets a bit hard at times. You made a point where you said a couple of the guys couldn't make the weight, and you were lucky enough that you were able to ride at 53 on the weekend. But when you started riding, your dad, and this will probably shock a few young kids listening at the moment, your dad had to plead to get you apprenticed, and one of the issues was your weight.
That's true, Sean. The apprentice schools, I'm going to talk from Victoria and the information I have, because I haven't done my apprenticeship for a long time now, but when we went through, it was a lot different. The system now set up in Victoria is that if someone like myself, if I came along now in the situation I was in, I wouldn't be given an opportunity, which I think is sad. But again, they've changed it to a more scientific approach. They've also poured a lot of money in, and the development of apprentices in Victoria is such that the industry is looking after them and educating them. And again, I'd say there's clearly you can see the benefits from that when you have a look at these riders that have just got their license, they're having their first rides, and they sit on like me when after 3 and 2 years, and it's just like, wow, it's just very impressive. But we also went speaking to my father, who's always my mentor and always my master, whether we see eye to eye all the time and that, but very fortunate to always have him in my corner, that one thing you can't change, and you don't know when you're talking about scientific and about body fat, fat skin tests, and about when you're going to grow and your size of your feet and everything else, is that spirit, you know, of how much you want to do. And if you do have a fall, which is going to happen, unfortunately, in our game, and hopefully we bounce back, but whether you're going to get back on the horse.